My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Eric Fetty, Anthony, go.
Sure. Okay. Career year, right?
Something, he's got 7 wins on a team that's got 27 total.
Whoa. He
fourth
and
of their wins.
He and Tommy Pham are a combined 67 years old. Almost as long as it's been since the Cleveland Guardians won the World Series. I don't know how to put this all together. Let's bring on Anthony Castrovince, who wrote about both those guys. And in his 12 bold predictions, wrote that the Guardians are going to get Eric Fetty and Tommy Pham. Anthony Castrovince, MLB.com. He joins us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Anthony, thanks for joining us this morning.
Yeah, why get one guy from the worst team in baseball when you can get two?
See, when you say it like that, like we always make jokes about loaded language. And I was like, when like we were going to trade for A.J. McCarron once with the Browns, I was calling him Andy Dalton's backup, which made it sound really, really bad. And when you say if you can get not one player from the worst team in baseball, but two, well, that doesn't sound like we're making a good trade. Would these be good trades for the Cleveland Guardians?
Well, I think so. Fetty, especially. I mean, I think Fetty is kind of underrated in this trade deadline. He doesn't have the raw stuff of his teammate, Garrett O'Shea. But he doesn't come with potential innings limitations down the stretch, and I just like his story. I mean, he's come back. He went over to Korea. You know, he's struggling in the big leagues. ERA over 5. Goes over to Korea, really learns how to pitch a game. You know, pitch deep into a game, command a game. You know, doesn't walk people at the rate he once did. So I'd feel good handing the ball to the playoff starter. I really would. It's kind of that's in the context of our times where, you know, so many guys are throwing the you-know-what out of the ball with every pitch and getting hurt at a crazy rate. I would feel confident in Fetty's ability to just take the ball for you every fifth day on the stretch, which is really what they need. You know, they need to take the pressure off this bullpen. This bullpen is tremendous, but it's also been used a lot. So they need a guy or guys who they can reasonably count on to give quality innings down the stretch.
The reports that came out over the last few days about Crochet, is that a bluff worth calling?
Yeah, I don't think it's a bluff. I think it's someone who is, you know, trying to take advantage of his situation, get himself some, you know, contractual certainty or workload certainty. I mean, he's a very unusual case. It kind of speaks to what's happened this year with the injury rate that Garrett Crochet is, you know, arguably the top pitching trade candidate out there. I don't think any of us anticipated that even coming into the season that he would be a major trade candidate, let alone, you know, one of this nature. But he's already, you know, doubled his career high in innings. So you're getting the 2 years of control beyond this one, but what are you going to get from him down the stretch? How much? I don't think it's unrealistic to think you can continue to push him, but like how much is too much, you know? And I do think there was some thought brewing within the industry, like, well, maybe for this playoff run, you get him for 3 years, you know, 3 playoff runs essentially, and maybe for this one, you can use him as a reliever. And he's kind of pushing back on that before a trade even happened. So, you know, players at that stage of their career prior to free agency don't always have a lot of leverage. He might have some leverage in this moment. I don't blame him for, you know, trying to utilize it for what is best for his career, because we know pitchers blow up. These opportunities don't come often. And so I understand why you know, he might have some concerns about how he's used, and I understand why teams might have some concerns about what they can get from him. I don't think that's a guy that, like a team in the Guardian situation, you mm-hmm. can't trade for Garrett Crochet. I'm not talking about within the division and all that stuff. I'm just talking about what I said earlier. It's like you need to know what you're getting innings-wise.
Anthony Kastrovitz joining us here on the show. Yeah, I think it's kind of difficult for folks to bring in what they want to bring just because of name as a general Guardians fan. I want to explain that here in just a moment. Anthony, when you looked at the Guardians to begin this season, where did you think they were going to finish record-wise?
Oh, I mean, I thought 500 would be a struggle. Like, I thought that would be, you know, if they finished 500, that would be a heck of a season, to be honest with you, because I did have concerns about the pitching staff as a whole, and as it turns out, that was certainly justified in the rotation, but not so much in the bullpen. I was way wrong about the bullpen, you know. I thought it would be Class A marks, and it has not been the case at all.
Well, does that
apply? That I did feel better about their organizational depth players. I didn't know what that would look like. But it's obviously, you know, it turned out to be a strength for the first half of the season.
Well, does that or should that affect what they do at the trade deadline? Because a lot of people just had them where you are, around 500, and, you know, we'll call it a season, and maybe we'll see some guys develop for 2025 and beyond. But since they're so much better than that, does that hold them back from going, quote-unquote, all in, or is that all the more reason to go all in?
I hope it doesn't hold them back. I think that'd be ridiculous. You can't assess the trade deadline relative to what people thought of your club in March. You have to assess the trade deadline according to what you are on July 30th, which is, you know, as of today, the second best record in baseball, and a team that's established that it does need some support. You know, it's gotten support from the fans. We've seen that, right? They've gotten this point with a minimal payroll. They've gotten this point with a strong farm system, and they've gotten this point with a lot of fan support. So if not now, when? The rotation has, like I said, it's been a problem all year in terms of just getting quality innings, and the lineup has taken on some water here in the last month, which is probably not unexpected because the way they're performing offensively the first couple months of the season was a revelation. It was like, where did this come from? You know, all this power, all these runs, like, what the heck? So I think of it like, if you think of offense in three tiers, you know, they were a tier three offense last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think there was hope that this year could be more like a tier two. You know, guys perform, you know, more towards what you expect of them. Some prospects come up, et cetera. But they were tier one for the first half of the season. Now they're kind of scaling back and, you know, maybe water finds its level and they end up at tier two. But again, here's an opportunity at the deadline to maybe get another bat as well to shore up that end of things.
So, I mean, this would be, because when I brought up the name brand thing, like you wrote about Blake Snell. All right, well, I know Blake Snell hasn't been that great this year, and I know he got a late start and all that other stuff. But I think a general fan, if they hear Blake Snell and they hear he goes to the Astros and the Guardians trade for, they might have heard of Tommy Pham. But I think a lot of regular Guardians fans might not have really talked about Eric Fetty that much. If they just get those guys, for whatever reason, I do believe that Guardians fans or the general Cleveland sports fan would be upset about hearing a guy like Blake Snell going there, just for name recognition's sake.
Yeah, I don't think name recognition matters to me. What matters to me is winning games, you know? I mean, did Cade Smith have name recognition before this year?
No.
Did Tim Herron? Did Hunter Gaddis? No. And those guys have been like the MVPs of the season, as far as I'm concerned. So, yeah, I get what you're saying. Like, it would excite the fan base to bring in a, you know, a reigning Cy Young winner, but also you got to know what you're getting. And I don't know what they're getting in Blake Snell. I mean, I do think he's been a very mercurial player in general in his career. You know, kind of you know, high highs and low lows, that sort of thing. It kind of comes with his profile, but you know, the thing that's really complicated with him is $30 million player option for next year. And so you don't know if you're getting Blake Snell for 2 months. Are you getting Blake Snell for 2 months and another season on top of that? Do you want to commit to a player who could exercise a $30 million player option and has not had a good season? It's just, that's a lot of question marks that, you know, I don't want any part of.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'd rather have Eric Fetty. I really would.
Well, Anthony, is there a value or a contract, a future contract, that would rule out a player for this front office, for this ownership group? Meaning, like, you're talking about Snell and the $30 million option. That, to me, is that's just not going to happen. It's almost delusional to think that they would, considering what their payroll is now, to pursue something like that. So what is that contract value that you think is almost pointless to even discuss?
Well, that's a great question that I can't possibly answer because we have not seen what this new ownership group, and that's what it is, right? A new minority owner. Like, we haven't seen the impact from that yet. And I don't know what that is going to look like. We have not heard from Blitzer, right? We haven't heard a word from the guy since he became a minority. So I don't know, like, is this a time where they might consider more investment in the future? But I think the other answer to your question is just, I don't think it really matters this trade deadline, to be honest with you, based on the inventory. Like, there's nothing, I mean, we talk about Blake Snell, he's probably an outlier. I think generally speaking, there's no one known to be available at this trade deadline whose contract is so onerous that you couldn't do it. I think it's just more a question of, you know, are you comfortable giving up X, Y, and Z? But it's a pretty, it's not a high star polluted trade deadline. There's a lot of inventory. There's a lot of volume going on right now. We've seen it in the last few days. There's been a lot of movement, and there's a lot of ways to improve your club, and I expect them to do that. But I don't see anything that's like a non-starter in terms of contractual situation. Blake Snell, like I said, might be one of the few precarious situations there.
So, like, the Rays, they sold, they're three games out of the wild card. You know, Randy Rosarena's on his way out. What's realistic now? With the added wild card spot, what's a realistic point for teams to be buyers or sellers? Like, not division leaders, but wild card teams. What's a point where you say, okay, they really need to be buyers, this is ridiculous, or, hey, it's time to sell? Is that a year-by-year basis, or is there something there that you could see as maybe a golden rule?
I don't see any golden rule. There's no rules anymore. You know, I've seen a lot of, I've seen some national prominent conversation about how well the Rays are doing at this trade deadline, and, you know, this is how you sell, this is the methodical way, like, they're really showing this is how you do it, and they're three games out of a playoff spot. So it's like, what are we doing here? It's like the same people who in the winter, you know, moan about teams not doing enough to compete and that sort of thing, and now we're going to celebrate that they're trading everybody at three games out. So I don't know what the rules are anymore. I just know that, you know, front offices have a pretty good feel for their teams in terms of what is real and, you know, what is more a product of the whole league being kind of bogged down. Like, I'm just going to say that, like, there's no juggernauts this season, particularly in the American League. I mean, the Guardians have the best record in the American League. You guys watch them every night. You can probably pick them apart left and right, right? I mean, we're sitting here, they need this, they need that.
Yeah.
And that's generally how it is with fans in general, but it's also real. Like, they really do have some needs. And, oh, by the way, they have the best record in the American League. So I think the Orioles are a team that's probably in the best position to come out of this trade deadline like as the clear favorite in the American League. Like if they were to add yet another arm, you know, in the front end of the rotation, and they could actually absolutely do that. You know, that's a team that I would feel comfortable, like, okay, crown them as you are the favorite going forward. But just generally speaking, like, it's just kind of crowded in the middle. And so I don't know why a team like the Rays would be celebrated for punting at three games out. I think that's kind of crazy.
I may have asked you this last time we had you on, but now we've gotten even closer. And I'm still assuming they're going to pick up a rotational arm, but we'll see. Right now, who would be, if they had a chance to set up their starting rotation, what would that order be? What would it look like in the playoffs?
Oh, boy. Wow. Yeah, it's kind of maybe it's a, you know, a comment on the state of the game, and that Ben Lively, and, I mean, obviously Bybee is your number one, and then Ben Lively is your number two start in the playoffs right now, right? That's just kind of where they're at. There is still hope that Logan Allen and Tristan McKenzie figure some things out, and, you know, it's been kind of, you don't like to scout the stat line, but it's pretty clear that McKenzie's, you know, having a lot of trouble, you know, commanding the baseball down there, just, you know, avoiding walks. So that's discouraging. But yeah, that's why it's very important they get at least one starter and maybe two. You know, Matthew Boyd is an option for them down the stretch. He's coming back from Tommy John. You don't know what you're going to get there, but he is an option for them. But yeah, as of today, it's Bybee, Lively, and pray for rain, I guess.
And, well, the next thing I was going to ask, just matchup-wise, we are obsessed about talking about matchups in the NFL and the NBA. Give me the matchups that would be the most favorable playoff-wise for this Guardians team.
Yeah, another good question, and a question that will obviously change, you know, quite a bit between now and October. It'll probably change quite a bit between now and 6 o'clock on Tuesday, but, you know, as we sit here today, Houston's got the AL West lead now. Obviously, the Orioles have the AL East lead. And the wild cards as of today are Yankees, Twins, and Royals. Well, you know, there's a lot of familiarity with the Twins and Royals, of course. Guardians would be the number one. I laugh at this. Like, it's crazy to me that we're sitting here on July 29th, and the Guardians are the number one seed in the American League playoffs. So they would be in a good position with home games and, you know, facing the worst remaining seed. But, you know, give me the Yankees. The Yankees are pitchable.
Bring on the Yankees.
Whoa.
Let's Yankees. Go.
Whoa. Anthony.
Bring on the Yankees.
Don't let the two guys hurt you and then take your chances with the rest.
Oh, I wouldn't do
it
that.
It always feels better when you beat the Yankees anyway. It means more.
Oh, my God. Don't you think Josh Naylor wants another crack at those fans?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, those babies are now like, what, 3 years old that he was rocking last time. They've grown.
Stop it.
They're toddlers. That's right. Terrible twos, I think. Mm-hmm.
Can I quote you on social media about that, Anthony?
He's got tweeted out.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that'll be taken in the proper context.
Let's go.
Sure.
It'll be taken in a horrific context. That's why I asked. I swear to God, Anthony.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's such a baseball's wild, man. It's only gotten wilder with the expanded playoffs, and you know, it's how are you playing in that moment? And the Guardians have put themselves in a position where I legitimately think they can go to the World Series. And I don't say that like there's been other years where they've been leading their division or in the playoff mix, but like I just think that the playoff picture, as we sit here today, maybe something changes and the juggernaut emerges from this, but they could beat anybody in a short series. They really could, because they have the formula of just get a lead and hand it off to the bullpen. They did it in 2016. They can do it again this year. And that's a beautiful thing, but they got to take advantage of that situation here in the next, whatever it is, 36 hours.
Anthony, we thank you very much for the time. All the very best to you and yours. And, I mean, I'll explain when you're not on air why I didn't think it was a great idea to say the whole bring on the Yankees thing, even though you technically didn't say it. But either way, Anthony, have a hell of a day. Take care.
All right, guys. We'll see you.
Anthony Kastrovitz, MLB.com. Follow him on Twitter at Kastrovitz.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.